Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We want to look at this thought today, God's answer. Our responsibility, according to this verse, is to pray. And God has promised if we'll pray, that He'll answer. So our responsibility is to ask, and His responsibility is to act. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, all flesh shall come unto thee. Psalm 118:5 says, I called upon the Lord in my distress, the Lord answered me. According to the scripture, God has at least four different types of answers to prayer. The first one is He gives us a definite answer of yes. The second one is He may give us a denied answer of no. The third one is He may give us a delayed answer of wait. And the fourth one is He may give us a different answer, different than what we prayed for, different than what we expected, different than what we hoped for. Dr. George Truett was in the pulpit on a Sunday morning. He took this text. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. When he read that text, he said, how many of you believe that text? A woman stood up to his amazement and said, Pastor, I pray that someone would claim that promise with me, for my husband is in need of salvation. And she began to the altar to pray. Well, the pastor was shocked. Dr. Truett was shocked. Quickly, a big burly man stood up and said, Auntie, I'll claim that promise with you. And he made his way to the front. They began to pray for this woman's husband. In fact, they prayed the whole time Dr. Truett preached. And they kept praying after he had finished preaching and had dismissed the service. When they came back Sunday night, they were still in prayer, and the woman's husband, who was a foul-mouthed, drunken sot, he came to church that night after he had been in the bed all morning trying to sleep it off, came to church that night, heard Dr. Truett preach. The woman and the man kept praying in the altar. They were no longer praying, God save my husband, or save that dear man. They were now thanking God for what He was going to do. You see, during that time of prayer, they went from a place of petition to a place of thanksgiving. And shortly, that man made his way to that altar during that service, and he got saved and became one of the greatest church workers Dr. Truett said that they ever had in that church. You see, church, there is a time that God gives you a direct, definite answer of yes. And I thought about Jabez. We studied that in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. He said, O Lord, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And quickly, God granted his request. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel when he was facing those 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah stood up and said, Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord our God. And before he could say amen, the fire fell from heaven, and God had said yes and consumed up the sacrifice. We saw who God was real quickly because God says yes. What about Simon Peter? As he walked on the water and he began to look at the wind and the waves and he began to sink, what'd he say? He said, Lord, save me. He didn't have time for one of them long, drawn-out, eloquent prayers. Three little words, Lord, save me. And immediately the Savior reached down and said, yes, and lifted him up and saved his soul and carried him back to the boat. No wonder the writer of the Hebrews said in Hebrews 4:16, let us come to the throne and let us boldly come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Friend, God will always say yes to our needs. I promise you that. That's one way He answers prayer, is that definite, direct yes. Then what about those denials? Well, I thought about if a little boy came to you
And maybe it's your son said, Daddy's 40, say 4 or 5 years old. He said, Daddy, let me play with your gun. What would you say to him? No. Some people say God's no is not an answer. Well, I'm going to ask you, if your kid asks to play with a gun and you say no, is that an answer? What if he jumps up and down and screams and hollers and holds his breath? You going to change your mind? No. You're going to stick with no. God many times has an answer of no for his people. And we need to learn to accept that. When God says no to us, he will have a greater yes somewhere. I thought about 1 Chronicles 17. David was praying and he asked that he could build the house of God to house the Ark of the Covenant. God told him no. And David bowed down and gave thanks and began to store up all the things that would be to build it one day in the future when Solomon would build it. I thought about Elijah. We said it this morning. He crawled up underneath the juniper tree and he said, Lord, it's enough. I'm ready to die. Ain't you glad God said no? What about Jonah? He prayed, oh God, kill me. I don't want to go to the priest of the Ninevites. Just let me die. Ain't you glad God said no when he saved all them Ninevites? What about Paul? He said, Lord, I've got a thorn in the flesh. God said no. He came back a second time and said, God, I've got a thorn in the flesh. Take it away from me. God said no. He came back a third time and said, God, I've got a thorn in the flesh. It's a messenger of Satan. It's buffeting me. Would you take it away? God said no. My grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, ain't you glad there's a time when God says no? Sometimes he says no for our protection. Sometimes he says no for our direction. And sometimes he says no for our correction. You know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes the prayers of husbands and wives are hindered because of hindrances in the home. Amen? There are times that God says no and gives us a denied answer. And then the third one was, there are times he delays. Preacher, what do you mean? Delay develops our faith, demonstrates our trust. Noah prayed, God, when are you going to get me out of this boat? God said, just wait a little while till the waters recede. Then I'll tell you when it's time to get out, amen? What about Joshua and Caleb? Oh, Lord, when are you going to give us the promised land? 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't get to pooch lip because everybody else was against them. They just kept serving God. And after the end of 40 years, they got their blessing. What about Mary and Martha? Who sent to Jesus and said, our brother's sick? Jesus waited. He delayed his coming. And when he got there, the Bible says that Lazarus had been dead 4 days. But I'm glad, thank God, that when God's 4 days late, he's still on time. I think about Daniel, who had prayed 3 weeks that God would reveal some things to him. And finally, the Lord showed up and laid his hand on him and touched him and had him to stand. And he said, I've been in a spiritual warfare for 3 weeks, delayed getting to you. Friend, there are times that God delays an answer to come to us. But we can always trust this. He heard us the first time we prayed. Then the fourth type of answer is the answer that is different. And I want to say that this morning, that as a young man, I had gone down to the bus stop to catch the bus down at my grandmother's house. And when I got down there, it was cold outside. I stood shivering. I was so afraid. And so I looked at back towards the house and I hollered, Grandma, Grandma. And she come out the front door and she said, what is it, son? I said, I'm cold. I need a coat. She run back in the house and I looked. I could see the bus way up the road. I thought, well, I got time to meet her halfway. And I run back towards the house and she come carrying out a coat towards me. And when I saw the coat that she picked out, I thought, ooh, that's not the coat I would have picked to wear today. I don't like that coat. I don't want to wear that coat. I want a different coat. And so what I decided to do was I turned around from my grandmother giving me that coat and I went and jumped on the bus and I froze all day. And I got a cold and was sick 10 to 14 days. Terrible bad. Why? Because I refused the answer of different. I asked grandmother for a coat. She brought me a different one than I expected. There are times in your life you'll go and say, oh God, this is what I need. And he hands you something different than what you asked for, different than what you expected, but it would have been good for you if you had accepted. I want to look at that this morning real quick. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8, two verses of Scripture. We'll launch off. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are times God gives us a different answer. So I want to say this morning, number one, there are times that God gives us, always gives us divine assistance with our prayer life. Why do we need divine assistance with our prayer life? There are six enemies in the Word of God, at least six, to our prayer life. And some of them are found right here. The first enemy that you may face is the enemy of indifference. You may not always feel like praying. There are times in your flesh that you're going to experience, though you're saved, you have no desire to pray. Just be honest with God. He already knows how you feel. You're apathetic and oftentimes indifferent to prayer. But see, the Holy Ghost, when He saved you, the Holy Ghost He instilled in your heart. And when you don't want to pray, you see, the Holy Spirit will do some for you. In fact, He'll stir you. You may get in a good service and hear some good singing, and it stir you. You may hear the preached word of God, and it stir you. You see, there's something inside you that gets to stir it. When you're indifferent to prayer with no desire to prayer, He stirs you to draw you to a place of communion and fellowship with God. Look at verse 15 of this chapter. He says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Preacher, what does that mean? When I don't feel like praying and I am indifferent to it, there is one inside of me that cries out and says, Abba, Father. That means Daddy. Whew. I'm glad there's something in me now that can overcome my indifference. Number two, another enemy that we may experience is impotence. What does that mean? Lack of power. He says in verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means weaknesses. You see, the secret of prayer is understanding our weaknesses, our infirmities, our deficiencies. And when we understand how weak we are, and we cast ourselves on the Lord and His strength, then things will change. You remember what the Scripture says? The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, we're powerless. Listen what He told Paul when He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Don't you know God's got it fixed that without Jesus we can do nothing? We have no power at all to pray. You may say, Preacher Darren, I've got a powerful prayer life. You do by the Holy Ghost. But in yourself, we don't have the power to do so. He says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities to overcome our weakness and our difficulties. Best thing you'll ever admit is, oh God, I am a weakling in prayer. The third one is ignorance. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to ask for. Amen? We think we need this, but God says you don't need that. The Holy Ghost knows the mind of God, knows the will of God, knows what we should pray for. You may say, Preacher, oh yes, I know exactly what to pray. There are times you may, But oftentimes, you won't know what to say or do or pray. Have you ever been there? Where it come time to pray, you felt like you should pray, but you didn't even know what to pray for. You can say, well, I could always pray for somebody else, and I could pray for those at the bride. But I'm talking about there's times when people are sick, you don't know whether to pray for healing or for God to take them on home. Little boy was down praying. Fella overheard him. Little boy saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so on, till he got through the whole alphabet. And the man kept looking at him, and the boy started again. And then he went through the alphabet a third time. Finally, the man came over, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, son, why are you praying the letters of the alphabet? He said, I don't know what to pray for as I should, but I'm giving God all the letters, and he can fill in the blanks. We're ignorant concerning our prayer life at times. The fourth one is interference. The devil will fight us. Amen? And the best thing we can do is put on the whole armor of God and pray in supplication, and Ephesians chapter 6 says, in the Spirit of God. That's how we're supposed to pray. Fifthly, there are times that we have inexpressibility. There are times that you and I are not able to articulate. In other words, our mere words are feeble. And our words are inept. Sometimes, have you ever been to the altar to pray, burdened about something, and you just didn't have the words? It's not in your vocabulary. There's been times when I got so lifted up in praise, I didn't have the words. I couldn't thank him. I couldn't praise him. But there's been times when I've been so low that I didn't know even how to plead. I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. There's literally been times at this altar that I've come and bowed right here and just said, God, I just don't know how to say it. But the Holy Ghost takes my inarticulation, if that's a word, and my inexpressibility, if that's a word, and he takes my words and he flies to the throne of Almighty God. And he says, what he's saying is, he just loves you. He just wants to praise you. And what he's saying is, he has some specific needs, Father. Would you grant them? Oh, I'm glad. I have an enemy of inexpressibility, but the Holy Ghost can change all that. Sixthly, what about inaccessibility? You see, I don't have access to the throne of God, but by one way, through the blood of Jesus. And when I get there, the blood of Christ gives me privilege and access. But you know what gives me the power to stay there? The Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians, I want to read this to you. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and in verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Are you with me? There are times that the Holy Spirit will give us divine assistance with our prayer life. Look back at Romans chapter 8, verse 34, end of the chapter. He says, or end of the verse, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Are you listening to me? He lived upon this earth 30 years as a man without sin. 3 years in the ministry without sin. One great act on the cross, died for the sins of mankind in one day. 3 days later, on the first day of the week, up from the grave, he arose. And since that time, for over 2,000 years, he's been seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you and praying for me. So Jesus prays for us. But according to Romans 8:26, the Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered makes intercession for us. You see, Jesus makes intercession for us at the throne of God, and the Spirit of God makes intercession in us. Well, I like that, don't you? I need that, amen. Some divine assistance with our petitions. Number two, every time that we pray, there are divine accomplishments purposed. Preacher, what do you mean? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Every prayer that God answers, He answers for our good. Preacher, He said no to me. It was for your betterment. It was for your good. Preacher, He told me to wait. It was for your good. He told me yes. It was for your good. I asked for this. He gave me that. It was for your good. Every prayer, every answered prayer is always for our good. And B, it's always for His glory. God will never answer a petition if it's not for His glory. Well, I've been asking for a new car. He ain't give it to me yet because He knows you'll drive it on the parkway on Sunday and lay out of church. I've been praying for a new raise at work, but He knows He can't give it to you because you won't tithe it. God will never answer a prayer request for you that's not for His glory and your good. Bible says you have not because you ask not. Hey, the Bible says also that you have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. God, through the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ, is interested in blessing you and helping you and meeting your every need, but it'll always be for your good and for His glory. And because I know He's always working for my good, why in the world would I not want to get down and say, God, I don't understand this, but I thank You for it. Grandmother carried me a coat. Wasn't the one I wanted, so I refused it and froze all day. How many times do we do that to God's answer? Number three this morning, I want you to see some divine answers promised. You see, the Holy Spirit then is intervening in our lives. Now, the Bible says in verse 26 and in verse 27, twice He's making intercession. That means to speak on another's behalf. I want to trace out something here about the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 1, just travel here with me. Let's just see how this works. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, Paul writing to the Roman church. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. What's Paul praying for? He's praying to come to Rome to be a blessing to them, and God would bless them with spiritual gifts. Are you with me? Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse number 29, Paul says, I am sure that when I am come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Y'all got me? Paul prayed in Romans 1, I pray to go to Rome. He prayed in Romans 15 and asked the whole church, pray that when I come to Rome, I'm going to enter in with the fullness of joy, the ministry, as we pray together. Hey, they're asking for the blessings of God. God answered that. You know how Paul came to Rome? Bound between soldiers as a prisoner. You thought he'd be in some gospel tent ministry, didn't you? You thought he'd set up shop and just preach and thousands would get saved. That's what he prayed for. But not every time do we ask for a blessing. Does God give the blessing? Sometimes we pray for a blessing, he gives a burden. Because he knows the burden will bring the blessing. We pray for victory and shouting, but he allows us to go through troubles and trials and tears. But in that valley where only he can get to you, when he comforts you, and when he lifts you, and when he loves you, you'll understand that there's more to shouting than circumstances that are around our physical life. There is one that lives in us, that's leading us to a land over yonder, who'll bless us by his purpose and keep us with his promise. If you and I would just learn to trust God with his answer, though it may be different, it will be a blessing. Listen to me. When Paul got there, he preached to the Praetorian Guard. He was chained between two men every hour of the day. Can you imagine having to be around somebody that's a preacher? You didn't want to hear him preach, but your assignment is to be chained to him and watch him all day? He's probably going to preach to you. He's probably going to tell you about Jesus. And hundreds, yea, thousands of the house of Caesar, of the Praetorian Guard, were saved, born again, because Paul was in jail. You're looking at me funny like you don't like preaching. Now, I don't like it. When I pray for blessings and God gives burdens that lead to blessings, I want to shortcut this deal. You're looking at me. This is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. You've got to go God's way. And God's way is the better way. In the book of Acts, the church came and laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and prayed over them and sent them out. And they established church after church after church on their first missionary journey. They came back and reported. People were excited. They got together in Acts 15 and said, Barnabas, let's go back and encourage the churches that have started and let's see how they're doing. Barnabas said, boy, that's a great idea. I'll go get John Mark. Paul said, wait a minute. John Mark quit us the first time. He's not going with us the second time. Barnabas says, well, I feel like he should. It'll be a real encouragement to him. Paul said, absolutely not. We have our first disagreement between the team. They prayed for blessings. What God grant? Discord came between them, and they split up. Barnabas took John Mark. Paul went and chose Silas, and here they go. The only problem is it backfired on the devil. Now instead of having two preachers, there's four. Now instead of having one team out preaching, there's two teams out preaching. They go out. Turn with me to Acts 16. I know you're tired of hearing me preach this, but I want to show you Paul's life led of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 16, they go and meet with a young family, and a young man named Timothy is converted and now goes with Paul and Silas. They go to preach. The Bible says in verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Here they are praying, oh God bless us, help us to stand and preach. And as they want to go north, the Holy Ghost says no. Well, that's an answer. They go south, the Holy Ghost says no. They think about turning back east, the Holy Ghost says no. Only one direction left. They go west. The Bible says they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Troas is a port city. The ocean is there. Can you see Paul as he goes as far as he can? He says, now what, Lord? You told us to go west. We've gone as far west as we can possibly go. Can you see Paul, that great prayer warrior, as he drops to his knees and says, oh God, show me what we're supposed to do. I'm not understanding here. Lead me. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul said, I believe that was a sign from God. The Bible says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Somehow they got the money. They bought a ticket on the boat. They began to sail. As they sailed, they finally landed on the other side of the sea. They got off. They began to say, well, let's just follow the Lord. They came to a place called Philippi. There was a bunch of women down there praying. They went down to the prayer meeting, and they began to talk to them about Christ. They'd never heard about Jesus. And Lydia got saved. Well, the Holy Ghost is leading them. Lydia gets saved. Paul goes out preaching, and a fortune-telling girl begins to hinder him. He casts the devil out of the girl, and the girl gets saved. For that, Paul gets arrested. And Silas. They beat them severely. They scourged them and bloodied their backs and bruised their bodies and threw them into an inner prison. Probably chained them up. Now here they sit with blood running down their back and real pain in their body. Can you imagine what they're thinking? Lord, this ain't what we prayed for. I didn't sign up for this. You called me to preach. I was going out preaching. Look at us, locked up in a jail cell. But you know what they did at midnight, don't you? They began to pray. You see, the Holy Ghost helped them overcome their indifference and their infirmities and their ignorances. And they began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Can I ask y'all a question? I'm almost done, I promise. Look back at me. Have you ever prayed in the Spirit? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and stuff like that. I'm talking about praying, and you know the Holy Ghost was all over. Have you ever prayed in the flesh? And what work it is, and how what an effort it is. But it's something when you get talking to him, and he gets stirring on you, and the Holy Ghost comes, they begin to pray. And while they're praying, they started praising him. I mean, blood's running down their back. You know why? Look at Acts 16, verse 10. Here's why. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Said, I don't care how hard it gets. If this is the way to blessings and God gives us a different answer, it'll be all right. Let's start praising him. Right in the middle, and you know what them other prisoners thought? Who's them crazy fools in the middle of the night down there praying and praising God? All of a sudden, they started listening. And God started listening. And he sent an earthquake. And the doors of the prison opened up. And the same jailer that had beat them sprang in, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Y'all got something I don't have. I want it. And the old boy got saved. Took them to his house. Washed their stripes. His family got saved. You see, God gave a different answer to their prayer request of going to Rome and then going out on a missionary journey than what they thought. And they did not refuse the different answer. Most importantly, the response. They did not refuse God's different answer. They said, God, if this is what you want, it'll be all right with me. I'm just going to trust you in the middle of my hardship. In the middle of my obstacles, in the middle of my difficulties, in the middle of my loss. I've lost my loved one. They're gone on to heaven now. I don't know what to do now, but I'm just going to keep trusting you. You watch what he's going to do.